today. Yeah. After a long day, it's good. Yeah. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 14. Verse 14 to 16. And it says here, "Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests and said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?' And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We come before you in humility and we ask you to breathe upon your word and speak to our hearts today and illuminate your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was just reading through Matthew 26, 27, 28, all the passion chapters, I was just thinking about this aspect about when we read Matthew 26, when you read Matthew 27, 28, you see a certain value system in the suffering of Christ, in the betrayal of Christ. We see a certain value system. And as Manoj spoke last Wednesday, you can see that value system and how the actions are motivated by the value system. And we see here that for Judas, what was his value system? What did he value in his life? He valued money. And so for him, his whole association was with Jesus was, in his mind he may have been thinking, in the end, you know, what is the deal I can make on Jesus? Right? Right? What is the deal I can make? Right? And it says, he goes to the priest, and if I delivered, what will you give? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. In Exodus 21:32, if a slave would die because an animal gored it, you had to pay 30 pieces of silver. Now, we may not be able to ascertain whether it's the value of a slave, but we can clearly know that later on that he regrets, he gets the money back, he throws it in the temple, and we see that they went and they bought a field to bury the dead, which is called Akedelma, or the field of blood. Yeah? So that was his valuation of Jesus. What was his valuation? Right? 30 pieces of silver. Isn't that unique? So what did he want to do? Judas wanted to sell the truth. What is it? Sell the truth. If I sell the truth, what do I get? 30 pieces of silver. Then we come to the next set of people where we see in chapter 27, where now Jesus is standing before Pilate, and chapter 26, verse 57, he's before Caiaphas, and they are trying to find now a reason to put him to death. Right? And why are they trying to find a reason to put him to death? They're trying to find a reason to put him to death because they wanted to silence the truth. What is it? I want to silence the truth. The truth has come in. He has disturbed our setting. He has disturbed our society. If we entertain him more, he can disturb our places in society. Our high seats, he can disturb it. So let's what? Silence the truth. Let's silence him so that we can secure our place in Jewish society. we can secure our high seats in Jewish society. Let's silence him. That was the motivation. Correct? Then they come before Pilate. And it's very interesting. And in Matthew 27, we see that verse 18, he knew they had handed him over because of envy. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, I have nothing to do with the just man, for I have suffered many things. And he says in verse 23, why, what evil has he done? So verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that the tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, and you see to it. Then in verse 26, he released Barabbas to them, and when he scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. What is happening here? Now it's one thing to be ignorant about who is right and who is wrong. It is another thing to know who is right and who is wrong, but not be willing to what? Stand up for the truth. Pilate was not willing to what? Stand up for the truth. Because if he stands up for the truth, then his position becomes insecure. If he stands up for the truth, there could be a Jewish uprising. He could lose his seat. There could be some political ramifications if he stands up for the truth. So he did not stand up for the truth. And then after Jesus' death, they put a rock on this tomb, right? And the resurrection happens. And let's look in Matthew 28, verse 11. While they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests. Verse 12, when they assembled with the elders and consulted, they gave a large sum of money. Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. What did they want to do? They bribed the guards, correct? It says here, verse 12, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. What did they want to do? They wanted to subdue the truth. What is it? Subdue the. So we see the four like S's. I want to sell the truth. I want to silence the truth. I don't want to stand up for the truth. I want to what? Subdue the truth. Right? But we see Jesus' response in the suffering. And it's very beautiful. What do we see? We see at most places he's silent. Because in Philippians 2 it says, and it's a beautiful passage, it says this. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you who was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be with God, equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Isn't that beautiful? Just imagine, just think with me for a moment. God the Creator, God who has made everything, who made Adam and Eve, right? He comes as a man, the Son, the second person of the Trinity. Is born in the womb of Mary. And the Bible says he, what? So that is his kenosis or his condescension. He became a man, and not only became a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now there are two things involved in this. The first thing about Jesus which is involved is that he had to be qualified to be the sacrifice. In the Old Testament, the animal had to be without blemish, which means it had to be spotless and perfect. In Hebrews, I think 4:14-15, it says that he was tested at all points and he chose not to sin. And he was without sin. He was spotless. He was just spotless. So he had the qualifications. And then He had to have the willingness. You know, and I want to illustrate this. You know, many times when there's a hospital situation, right? Blood donation, correct? I may say I want to donate blood, but the blood group has to match. Many people's blood group matches, but they don't want to donate blood, correct? It could be either of. So Jesus had to have the qualifications where he had to be spotless, and he also had to have the willingness. And he says in Matthew 26, not my will, but thine be done. And sometimes when you look at the atrocity in Matthew 26, 27, you look at the atrocity which is happening against him, and you think he is quiet and he bears with it. The question is, the God of heaven and earth, why did he have to bear with it? You know, in one passage where they come and says, are you Jesus? I am he. They fell backwards. Right? That was his deity. But here, he humbles himself. And on the cross, the Bible says he lost everything. They gambled for his clothes. Everything he lost. And when he died completely. He didn't partially die. He died completely and his blood was shed. Why? Because firstly, he wanted to glorify God. And secondly, he valued us. Isn't that beautiful? He valued us. That's his great love. The Bible says in Romans 5, while we were yet sinners, while we were ungodly, without strength, while we were enemies, right? He loved us. And his son died for us so that we should no more be subjected to wrath. Isn't that beautiful? He valued us. And it's very interesting that when they come to arrest him, at a certain point, everybody forsakes him. You know, everybody forsakes him. And there is a reason for that. They forsake him. But that's okay, because they forsake him because God the Father had decided that in the work of Jesus, no human support or human merit would be part of that work. That work, only he could do alone. So when Jesus died on the cross, he died alone. Because it was the work which only he could do towards the Father. And when he did it, this is what the Bible says. The perfect justice of God the Father was satisfied. Even though injustice was done before Pilate and Caiaphas, in the court of God, the perfect justice of God was satisfied. And you know what happened? He became the once and for all sacrifice in Hebrews 9 and 10. And he became for us the complete sacrifice. And today you and I, we have received a complete redemption and a complete salvation. Not a single percentage is missing. Right? Now let's look at our value. Let's turn to Matthew 16. Verse 26. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And let's compare that with 1 Peter. Verse 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and spot. That is our value today. A value which the wealth of this world cannot buy, or the energy or the power of this world cannot buy. It is what? The precious blood of Jesus. When God looks at each one of us, the redemption price is the precious blood of Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, now we have the 2 Corinthians 5:21. We have been made the righteousness of Christ in him. And God looks at us, he puts the righteousness of Christ, he imputes it to us when we believe in him as our Savior, as a gift. And God looks at us as totally what? Righteous. Now this is beautiful for us today. And this is very beautiful. That When truth comes into the world, it shakes every aspect of life. It shakes our value system. It convicts us of our sin. And it shakes every social structure in society. And I was just meditating on this, that today, so many decisions happen when money changes hands, right? 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 Mr. Salman Khan can be treated as innocent, correct? When money changes hands. One of the things we need to understand is, in a human court, justice can be bought. But in a divine court, justice can never be bought. In Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them who call evil good and good evil. And that is why truth will shake everything in our lives. But in the end, truth will reign triumphant. In the end, he rose up from the dead. And today we are, what are we meditating on? We are meditating on something which is not future, but it is something which is past. Today, eternal life is a reality. He lives in us. It is not going to be given in the future. In the future is we will see him face to face. But it is a reality. It is a complete salvation. It is a once and for all salvation. And in Hebrews 10 it says, in the old they had to get animals upon animals that could never take away sin. And the sin was temporarily covered in Leviticus 16. For a year it was covered through the animal sacrifices. But what when Jesus paid for it, he paid for it once and for all. And all our sin were paid, past, present and future. And not only paid, he has not covered it. He has blotted it out. He has wiped it away. And he says, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Hebrews 10, 17, 18. Amen? And that's why we are here. Today, what does God expect from me? Nothing. Nothing. He just says, believe in me. That's all. Just believe in me. When you and I accept Jesus as our Savior, we have it all. The two thieves on the cross both rebuked him. Then they were convicted. One was convicted. Lord, remember me. At this very moment, you will be with me in paradise. So, in closing today, let's consider, what do we value in life? Right? You know, Esau came from the field. He was thirsty. Right? Jacob said, sell me your birthright for one bowl of dal. And he sold it. Right? You can take the Bible to the Chanawala or the Raddiwala. He'll value it. Correct? May give you some money for it. Judas valued Jesus. 30 pieces of silver. That money couldn't do anything for him. He was not saved. They bought the potter's field. But what is the value of our Lord? Correct? Can we put a value to him? He is the Lord God Almighty. He is the creator of heaven and earth. Amen? And when we understand this, and when we understand who he is and what he has done for us, then we will learn to begin to understand that money and things and all the other things cannot compare to who he is. Right? And you have Mary, before he died, he took the perfume and broke it. Mark 14:2 says, 300 denarii worth. 1 year's salary, bought one bottle of perfume and broke it on him. Why? Because prophetically, she had understood his value. Amen? That's the value. What's the value of our Lord? Right? Can you value him in monetary terms? He owns everything, correct? And all that he asks of us is to believe. That's all. Because he loves us just the way we are. And he died for us just the way we are. And when we believed in him, we were given eternal life. Guess what? Forever. Isn't that beautiful? We were given eternal life forever. You don't have to do anything to pay back. You don't have to do anything to maintain it or to prove it, as Pastor Toll said. You just have to enjoy it. It's yours. Right? So in closing today, Proverbs 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. And also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Amen.